Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
And now Chapter 9, Punishment, from Canto 6, Chapter 1, Texts 41 through 45 of the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Yamadutas continued. The supreme cause of all causes, Narayan, is situated in his abode in the spiritual world, but still he controls the entire cosmic manifestation according to the modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. In this way, all living entities are awarded different qualities, different names, such as Brahmana, Kshatriya and Vaishya, different duties according to the Vanashram institution, and different forms. Thus, Narayan is the cause of the entire cosmic manifestation. The sun, fire, sky, air, demigods, moon, evening, day, night, directions, water, land, and the Supersoul himself all witness the activities of the living entity. The candidates for punishment are those who are confirmed by these many witnesses to have deviated from their prescribed duties. Everyone engaged in fruitive activities is suitable to be subjected to punishment according to his sinful acts. O inhabitants of Vaikuntha, you are sinless. But those within this material world are all fruitive workers, whether acting piously or impiously. Both kinds of action are possible for them, because they are contaminated by the three modes of nature and must act accordingly. One who has accepted a material body cannot be inactive, and sinful action is inevitable for one acting under the modes of material nature. Therefore, all the living entities within this material world are punishable. Thus, in proportion to the extent of one's religious or irreligious actions in this life, one must enjoy or suffer the corresponding reactions of his karma in the next. Purport. The Shvetashvatara Upanishad, Chapter 6, Verse 8, informs us, Natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate, natatsamash cha vyatikash cha drishyate, parasya shaktir vividaiva shruyate, svabhaviki jnana bala kriya cha. Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is almighty, omnipotent. He has multifarious energies, and therefore he is able to remain in his own abode and without endeavor supervise and manipulate the entire cosmic manifestation through the interaction of the three modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. These interactions create different forms, bodies, activities, and changes, which all occur perfectly. Because the Lord is perfect, everything works as if He were directly supervising and taking part in it. Atheistic men, however, being covered by the three modes of material nature, cannot see that Narayan is the supreme cause behind all activities. Lord Krishna confirms this in the Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 7, Verse 13. Tribir guna mayer bhaver, ebi sarvam idam jagat, Mohitam Nabijanati Mame Bhya Param Avyayam, which means, quote, deluded by the three modes, the whole world does not know me, who am above the modes and inexhaustible. Unquote. There are three energies of the Supreme Lord: the internal energy, Parashakti, the marginal energy, and the external energy. The living entities belong to the marginal energy because they can come under the influence of either the internal or external energy of the Lord. By nature, they also belong to the Parashakti, but when they come under the control of the material energy, they are known as Kshetra Gya Shakti, knowers of the material field. In other words, the direct internal energy of God is spiritual, para, and the living entities have this same nature, para, but in contact with the material energy, or kshetra, the living entity accepts a material body as his self and is thus forced to act, manipulating the five senses. The Yamadutas say that everyone with a material body must work. An ant and an elephant both have to work. The ant requires only a grain of sugar for his sustenance, whereas the elephant requires 300 kilograms of food daily, but both must work for it. Foolish people say that the Vaishnavas do not work, but the Vaishnavas work for Krishna 24 hours a day. They are not idle do-nothings. While we are in this material world, we have to work. But we work for Krishna. That is not really work or karma. It is dharma, practical religion. Unless one works for Krishna, all his labor is adharma, irreligious sense gratification. The real aim of life is to satisfy Krishna. And Varnashram Dharma is the institution of that ideal in human society. The Varnashram system divides society into four spiritual orders, or ashrams, and four social classes, or varnas. The spiritual orders are the brahmacharis, celibate students, the grihasthas, householders living under spiritual regulation, the vanaprasthas, retirees, and the sannyasis, or renunciants. The four social orders are the brahmanas, intellectuals, the kshatriyas, warriors and administrators, the vaishyas, farmers and businessmen, and the shudras, manual laborers. Without the principles of Varnashram Dharma, human society is almost animal society. Indeed, human civilization begins when human beings accept the four social and spiritual divisions of society according to quality and work. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, verse 13, Chaturvarnyam maya shrishtam guna karma vibhagasha, which means, quote, I have created the four social divisions according to quality and work, unquote. In this material world, we associate with a particular combination of the modes of nature, and accordingly, we mold our character and behavior, and by this criterion, we fit into a particular social category. Today, people say that there should be no more caste system, but how can they ignore the natural designation of classes in human society? There must be a class of intelligent men, the Brahmins, who are qualified to disseminate Vedic knowledge to the people in general. There must be a class of kshatriyas to offer administrative rule and protection. There must be a class of merchants and farmers, the vaishyas, who trade and perform agricultural duties such as cow protection. And there must be a class of shudras who render service to the other classes. All men fit into these four classes, each according to his guna or nature. Whatever our varna or ashram, however, the perfection of our work is to satisfy Vishnu or Krishna. The Lord states this in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3, verse 9. Yagyar tat karmano nyatra, loko yam karma bandana, tad artam karma kunteya, mukta sangha samachara. Which means, quote, work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed. Otherwise, work causes bondage in this material world. Therefore, O Arjuna, perform your prescribed duties for his satisfaction, and in that way you will always remain free from bondage. Unquote. This is the sum and substance of human life. Since we have to work, we should work for Krishna. Then we are saved from all sinful reactions. But if we work for our personal sense gratification, we will become entangled in the reactions, lifetime after lifetime. It is not possible for a person to get out of the clutches of repeated birth and death as long as he continues to pursue sense gratification. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Jivera Svarupa Haya Krishnera Nitya Das. From the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 20, verse 108. Which means, quote, the constitutional position of the living entity is that he is eternally a servant of Krishna. Unquote. If one takes that position, he is saved, otherwise not. And how does one who accepts his position as a servant of Krishna work? Prahlad Maharaj explains in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 5, Verse 23. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, Smaranam Pada Sevanam, Archanam Vandanam Dasyam, Sakyam Atma Nivedanam. Which means, quote, hearing and chanting about the transcendental holy name, form, qualities, paraphernalia, and pastimes of Lord Vishnu, remembering these, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, offering the Lord respectful worship, offering prayers to the Lord, becoming his servant, considering the Lord one's best friend, and surrendering everything to him. These are the nine processes of pure devotional service. Unquote. In order to take up these processes seriously, one must accept the regulative principles for spiritual life. No meat eating, no illicit sex, no intoxication, and no gambling. Then one will be able to accept the injunction to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and always be engaged in the service of the Lord in one of the above nine ways. If we accept this authority, our life will be successful, both spiritually and materially. Otherwise, we will have to be satisfied with indulging in sense gratification, performing sinful activities, suffering like dogs and hogs, and enduring repeated birth, old age, disease, and death. We accept the body as our self, thinking, I am this body. However, we are not the body, but rather the owner of the body, just as we are not our apartment, but rather the owner or resident of the apartment. The soul is called Dehi, one who possesses a body. When we study our body, we say, this is my hand, this is my leg. We do not say, I am this hand, I am this leg. Yet the illusion that we are the body persists. The body is nothing but a vehicle for the soul. Sometimes a new motor car is wrecked in an accident, and the driver is overwhelmed with the sense of loss, forgetting that he is not the motor car. That is the effect of ahankara, false ego, or false conception of proprietorship. Because we are covered by ignorance, we have forgotten what our previous body was. Even in this life, we do not remember that we were once babies on the laps of our mothers. So many things have happened in our lifetime, but we do not remember them all. If we cannot even remember things that have happened in this life, how can we remember our last life? A person engages in sinful activities because he does not know what he did in his past life to get his present materially conditioned body, which is subjected to the threefold miseries, those produced by his own body and mind, those caused by other living entities, and those arising from natural disasters. As stated by Lord Rishabhadev in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 5, Verse 4, Nunam pramata kurute vikarma yad indriya pritaya apranoti. A human being who is mad after sense gratification does not hesitate to act sinfully. Na sadhu manye. This is not good. Yata atmano yam asan api kleshada asa deha. Because of such sinful actions, one receives another body in which to suffer, as he is suffering in his present body because of his past sinful activities. A person who does not have Vedic knowledge always acts in ignorance of what he has done in the past, what he is doing at the present, and how he will suffer in the future. He is completely in darkness. Therefore, the Vedic injunction is Tamasi Ma, don't remain in darkness. Jyotir Gama, try to go to the light. This light is Vedic knowledge, which one can understand when one is elevated to the mode of goodness, or when one transcends the mode of goodness by engaging in devotional service to the spiritual master and the Supreme Lord. How service to the Lord and the spiritual master results in Vedic knowledge is described in the Shvetashvatara Upanishad 6.23. Yasya deve para bhaktir, yata deve tata guro, tasyaite katita hyarta, prakashante mahatmana. Which means, quote, unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master, all the imports of Vedic knowledge are automatically revealed. Unquote. The Vedas enjoin Tad vigyarnartam sa gurum eva bigachet. One must approach a spiritual master who has full knowledge of the Vedas and be directed by him in order to become a devotee of the Lord. Then the knowledge of the Vedas will be revealed. When the Vedic knowledge is revealed, one need no longer remain in the darkness of material nature. According to his association with the material modes of nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, a living entity gets a particular type of body. The example of one who associates with the mode of goodness is a qualified Brahman. Such a Brahman knows past, present, and future because he consults the Vedic literature and sees through the eyes of scripture, Shastra Chakshu. He can understand what his past life was, why he is in the present body, and how he can obtain liberation from the clutches of Maya and not accept another material body. This is all possible when one is situated in the mode of goodness. Generally, however, the living entities in this material world are engrossed in the modes of passion and ignorance. One who is in the mode of ignorance cannot know what his past life was or what his next life will be. He is simply interested in his present body. Even though he has a human body, a person in the mode of ignorance and interested only in his present body is like an animal, for an animal, being covered by ignorance, thinks that the ultimate goal of life is immediate happiness, to eat and have sex. A human being must be educated to rise above this platform, to understand his past life and how he can endeavor for a better life in the future. There is even a book called the Bhrigu Samhita, which reveals information about one's past, present, and future lives according to astrological calculations. Somehow or other, one must be enlightened about his past, present, and future. One who is interested only in his present body and who tries to enjoy his senses to the fullest extent is understood to be engrossed in the mode of ignorance. His future is very, very dark. Indeed, the future is always dark for one who is covered by gross ignorance. Especially in this age, human society is covered by the mode of ignorance. Therefore, everyone thinks his present body to be everything, without consideration of the past or future.